In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, Wicked Anime, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Races, Top 10 World Albums of 2018.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another special episode of No Borders, No Race. This is the Top 10 World Albums of 2018. I am your King David Ivan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And for the very first time, I'm actually sharing this list with someone else. I have with me, of course, a very familiar voice, the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew of Wicked Anime.
Oh, hello. This year I happen to have 10 albums myself, and I was just like, hey Evan, I got all these albums, what do I do with all these albums?
Because normally you do, like, you submit, like, an album of the year for the past few years, so yep. How different, or was it more challenging for you to do a top 10?
No, because I slowly figured out that a lot more bands that I was listening to this year were releasing this year, but I think previous years I had way more albums that I would have submitted to a list, but I had to omit them for just the one that I really liked.
Right.
So,
and that's kind of like why I decided this year to do two totally different lists. I have mine for the J-pop, which you listeners can hear from a couple weeks ago, and I decided, let's just do the rest of the world for the other one, because J-pop just had so many great records, so many great releases that I needed to have another list. And fortunately, we had enough good albums from 2018 to be able to do a setup like this.
Well, let me tell you what, we got one crazy mix-up of music up ahead, because
it is.
It's like one song to the next is just not the same.
No, that's what I love. It's like, this is what I love about, like, the music that I enjoy, is it's so eclectic. You got pop, you got metal, you got rock, you got hip-hop, you got dream pop, shoegaze, you got, like, goth alternative, there's just so much on here. Mm. Although I did say hip-hop, there isn't a single rap album on this list, unfortunately.
Thank God for that.
Well, hey, come on. Dude. Although, perhaps just give a bit of a shout-out, people should totally be reading the Beastie Boys book, because that book is just filled with so much history about hip-hop.
Mm.
And that everyone should be totally, just for the stories alone.
Yep.
But before we dive into our list, like, I know normally I like to talk about honorable mentions or just briefly mention honorable mentions.
Yep.
Are there any records this year that you felt bad for having to admit?
I sure do. And I tell you what, me and Evan were actually at dinner one night when I discovered, oh man, I have to omit one of the things on my list because I literally found, I was just like, that's right, I forgot all about this album. So that album made it onto this list, but I had to omit Zardonic's new album, which is Become, I think was the album. Yeah, Zardonic's Become, which is... So Zardonic is this really, really, really great electronic artist, but he's what they consider metal step. So it's, think dubstep music with metal, and that's what he is. And he also got voted to have the best DJ mask. And you know how, like, DJs are famous for their crazy masks that
they
wear?
Dead Mouse.
Like Dead Mouse and all that. He was voted to have the best DJ mask of, like, 2016 or something like that.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, he looks... It's totally cool. I totally agree. He has the best DJ mask out there.
Cool. Yeah. For me, and I know this guy's, like, a legend, and it feels bad for me to actually admit this album on there, but, like, Paul McCartney's new album, Egypt Station,
okay,
is just really amazing. For a guy who's been writing songs for, like, almost six decades and still be able to, like, crank out a lot of good music, that's something. I know we were, like, you and I were joking about how, like, the Beatles, like, in an eight-year period released, like, almost two dozen records in that short amount of time, and, like, no wonder they hated each other's guts at the end.
That's right.
But for Paul McCartney to still be writing the music that he does, it says how good he is in the creative department.
I agree, because then you have folks like Billy Joel out there who say, I will never write another song again because the hits are what people like. It's just like, dude, you're an artist. Like, what the heck?
It has been what? River of Dreams was the last like studio album he released. That was 25 years ago.
Yeah. Can't your 19-year-old wife help you write something or something?
No, she's too busy driving him around because he's going to crash again.
Pulling out his catheters.
And I know we were joking about the hip-hop and everything, and I know your eyes are going to roll when I say that. I wanted to put Eminem's Kamikaze on the list because it reminded me so much of why I loved him when I was in high school. But at the same time, it's like, that was high school me.
Yeah.
Real me actually likes legit... like lo-fi hip-hop these days, like Flying Lotus, and like that has that jazz aspect. But I will admit that Eminem did have a very good album, in my honest opinion, with Kamikaze. So, what about disappointments? Was there an album you heard this year that made you go, really?
There wasn't, really. I, thankfully, all the bands that released for me, I didn't hate. And, There wasn't anything for me to argue for other than maybe so we have a Dog Fashion Disco album on this. I should just say, but one of the shocking things that I found out is that Dog Fashion Disco released two albums this year. Only for me to discover that both the albums were redos of old music that they had on a different label and actually B-sides. So there wasn't like really any new content from them this year, but they did release two whole albums in 2018, which is phenomenal. So hopefully when they're done redoing all their old stuff, then they'll get back onto doing new stuff.
Hopefully. For me, I love Jack White, but Boarding House Reach was so bad. Like, I understand when an artist wants to experiment and try to do something different. This is not how you do something different.
Ouch.
Experiment. It's like remember when like Mumford and Sons like did that whole they were awesome at the folk music.
Right.
And then they're like, hey, let's plug our instruments in and see what happens. Oh no, we sound like a Kings of Leon cover band now. I wouldn't say it was that bad, but you have to realize that when you write music and people expect something out of you, you have this sort of trademark sound.
Mm.
That trademark sound was gone from this album that Jack White released. And I don't know what he was thinking, and I don't know what critics were thinking when they were giving him 4 or 5 stars for this album.
Well, probably the same critics that think Imagine Dragons is still good after they sold out after their first album. Remember Radioactive?
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither, because now they're doing Thunder.
Which, my nearly 1-year-old niece likes that song. That's who they're pandering to. They're pandering to the toddlers.
Yep, pretty much.
So those are my disappointments. So why don't we start talking about the albums that we thought were the absolute best of 2018.
That sounds good to me.
All right. So remember, as always, if you like what you hear, please go out and support these artists. You know, you can go on Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, Band's official site, and your local record store to find these records. So since this is your first time, let's talk about your number 10 pick, and it is the band that you just mentioned.
Yep, Dog Fashion Disco. So Dog Fashion Disco is such an eclectic band, and I love them so much because they're following in the footsteps of people like Mike Patton and all the other great... you have to stop at Mike Patton, because Mike Patton is the best avant-garde metal artist out there.
Mm.
If you want avant-garde craziness when you're listening to your music, you listen to Faith No More or Mr. Bungle, or Mr. Bungle is really where it started.
Yeah.
But Dog Fashion Disco came up behind him and created this whole metal sound that included saxophones and trumpets and weird string instruments, and you get this sound that nobody else really makes, with tempo changes and instrument changes and all this great stuff that comes along with that, and so you have this avant-garde genre that is very Dog Fashion Disco. And so the band is headed by Todd Smith, and Todd Smith has his own studio with Jason Steph called Wrist to Razor Records, or Razor to Wrist, Records. It's one of the flip-flopped versions of that, but it's their studio. And within that studio, they have like four or five bands that they just record all the time. So now they seem to be re-recording all of Dog Fashion Disco's old material that's on a completely different album they don't have rights to anymore. So now they're re-recording it, and they're getting the rights back. And the first album that came out was Experiments and Embryos. And this was all their B-sides, except for Fetus on the Beat on the album. All their B-sides were never released on a full actual studio album.
So this was like their rendition of System of a Down, steal this album.
Exactly. And in this album, it's a bunch of beautiful redos with better sound quality and better instrument clarity. Where the first album that they released all these songs on, so quiet. Like, the lyrics were quiet, and you couldn't hear what Todd was singing, and the music was really loud, so it wasn't mixed properly. That's why they were B-side recordings. So now they're mixed properly, and it's great. Is this the part when I tell you which song we're listening to?
Well, I did want to mention, because I do like the eclectic aspects of this record. I did like the funky Sexual Abyss.
Yep.
There's a song that I really liked the best, which was Toothless Dream. And the first thing that came to mind was Primus when I was listening to that.
Right? Yeah. Totally. Primus is another one of those avant-garde bands that that really made it as in their day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Toothless Dream is great. The other song that I really like to give a great mention to is Pervert.
I was going
to
say that. Great metalcore style.
Super metal, about like anti-porn industry stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful narrative of like this really sick and twisted song. Yeah. But in this like grimy metal way. Yeah, so Pervert's a great song. But the song that we've presented to you today is Satanic Cowboy.
Just go and touch, get the fuck out of town. Just go and touch, get the fuck on the ground.
That was Dog Fashion Disco with Satanic Cowboy, a wonderful mix of their crazy trumpet sounds and that oh-so-avant-garde metal. But now it's time to talk about Evan's number 10 pick.
Yes, so my number 10 pick comes from a newcomer from Austin, Texas, and he goes by the name Clark Twain. Mm. Now, Clark Twain got my attention a couple months back with a song called Fly High Like Richard Branson, you know, the founder of, you know, Virgin and all that jazz, which this song should be like a hit on the radio. Like, that's how good this song is. Last month, he came out with his full-length debut album called Life is Wonderful, and it's got this really terrific blend of, like, Ben Folds, Jonathan Colton, and even a very little-known band called Matt Pond PA, who I used to listen to like crazy when I was in college. A lot of the songs on there, they have this very uniqueness to it, but at the same time, there's a great flow that goes through. Like, there's like a hidden narrative to it. Like, I love how there's this one song on there called God Is She, which is a very humorous song about getting someone out of your head, even if you like put her on the pedestal. Like, I'm not good enough for her, but you can't stop thinking about her.
That was the song that I think I liked the best when listening to it.
Okay.
It was a very pop indie sound. So like, I was kind of like, well, this is an interesting choice. I didn't expect this from Evan.
Yeah.
But I did listen to it, and God Is She was the one that I was just like, okay, I can hear this. I can see, yeah.
Yeah. And then I like the folk aspects that you find in Home and Wedding Bells, but then he will out of nowhere just start rocking hard on a song like Made for This. And I'm hoping that this is an album that's going to help springboard Clark to, I don't want to say like huge stardom, but I hope he gets a very good following, which is why I actually chose this album over even putting someone like Paul McCartney in the list, because I want more people to listen to him. I want more people to get the attention that I think he really deserves. So that's my number 10 pick, and we are going to play off of that album, Tiny Windows.
round and round we go. Round and 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 round and round we go.
Was Clark Train with Tiny Windows off of his album Life is Wonderful, and that was my number 10 pick. And now we're going to head into Andrew's number 9 pick, mm-hmm. which has a lot of songs that I think I could totally relate to.
Yeah, so this is a band that I actually discovered this year thanks to my work buddy who... We would bounce all these great metal albums off of one another. And one time, he bounced this artist off me called Avatar. And Avatar, they have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful mix of metal albums out there. Up until their fourth studio release is when they actually created their persona that you see now, which the lead singer dons himself in clown and jester makeup. And then the rest of the band kind of works like a mechanical unit. And they have this weird circus, court jester, folky, weird persona that they've been carrying for about three or four albums now. Starting with The Black Waltz. And this album that just came out this year is called Avatar Country. And it's this narrative. The whole album is a conceptual narrative of the king rising to power in Avatar Country. The king being the guitar player of Avatar.
Okay.
And so you have this very strange story that's being told about Avatar Country being built, the king arriving to Avatar Country, and becoming the king of Avatar Country, and then his rise to power. And here's where you get the song that we have now, mm-hmm. which is about the glory of the king of the band, and it's called A Statue of the King.
And I want to mention that I love the sound. It kind of has this very Trans-Siberian orchestra and this is going to be like a weird thing to pair up with Audio Slave.
Okay.
Like those are the two bands that I thought of when I was listening to this record.
Yeah, they really, really, really built this sound. Because in their older albums, I just want to make mention of this, in their older albums, they had a very metalcore, like, average metal band sound, which I still really enjoyed. As they released more and more albums, it started turning into this, like, we're making really weird noises with our guitars and we're distorting our whammy bars in weird ways that nobody has ever done before. Mm. And so this is just the next evolution of that.
Excellent. And so the song is, what was it called again?
Statue of the King.
First stone, we'll land your feet. All the world trembles, begs, and flees.
was Statue of the King by Avatar on the new album Avatar Country. Evan, what is your next number 9 album?
Complete polar opposite of that. We're going into more acoustic country for this one.
Yep.
Actually a Boston native, of a performer by the name of Marissa Nadler. Now, I saw this person perform as the opener for the Decemberists back in October. I was blown away by her and her cellist that she had there. Janet Leppin, I believe, is her name. So after that set, I ran down to the lobby where they're selling all the stuff, and I'm like, what is Marissa's latest album? And they said, well, it's this album that came out this year, and it's an album called For My Crimes. And this album is kind of like asking the question of what happens after Happily Ever After is recited. So you got like these different sorts of stories that are being told that Marissa's singing, mostly some really sad stuff. So like it's a good album.
When I had a listen, I very picked up on that. This is sad.
But what I do like about it is that despite it being sad, it does like go into the heart and attempt to revive it by giving it that voice that it desperately wants to scream. Like, I love the title track of this is this very, like, remorseful soul that's on death row that's realizing this is what I did, and now I'm realizing the repercussions of what I've done. It's very, very heartbreaking. But she could also be pretty funny, because there's that song she does called I Can't Listen to Gene Clark Anymore, and it's basically about that. If you've ever been in love with someone and you find yourself far away from that love and there's a song that reminds you of that person, you can't listen to it because your heart just aches for them. Mm. So you have to, like, not listen to them anymore until you reunite with them. One of my favorite songs off of there, not the one that I'm going to be playing, is a song called All Out of Catastrophes, and it just... every single bad scenario you can have in a relationship happening from start to finish. Which it's sad, but it's kind of humorous the way it's shown. It's kind of like that it's like that Alanis Morissette song Ironic, where all this bad stuff happens even though it's not ironic that it happens. I don't know why it's even called ironic, but this album For My Crimes, it's like I said, it's filled with sadness, but with that sadness comes hope that things will start going on the up and up, even as one says farewell to their vehicle, like she does in her last song in this album. So number 9 on my list goes to Marissa Nadler with For My Crimes, and the song I'm about to play is Blue Vapor.
All the times that you called me up, wishing you would be mine in the morning, I cannot move it on from you. I've been foreign, I've been turning into blue vapor. Into blue vapor. All the times that you call me up, wishing I would be yours when the night falls, you cannot move it on from me. The time crawls into blue.
Into everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Now let's pick things up with number 8 from Andrew, because I'm pretty sure that's not going to be sad whatsoever.
No. Hey, Evan.
Yes, Andrew?
I have a question for you.
What is that question?
Are you a demon-possessed sexual werewolf clergyman?
Have you been reading my diary, Dan?
No. But everybody is when you're listening to Powerwolf. Man... So Powerwolf is another band that I've really been picking up on for the past, I don't know, few, like over the past year at least, where I've been learning their stylings, and I've been learning their crazy persona of, this is like the one power metal band that I listen to that isn't all rainbows and sunshine and fantasy. They're very dark, and they're very sexually driven, and have a very anti, like, very, very strange, like, church clergy, demon-possessed, hellish feel. And it's so bizarre that it's hilarious. And I don't think you're supposed to take them seriously.
Right.
Especially when you have a song called Resurrection by Erection. So they're super fun to listen to. And their newest album just really explodes from the gate of we're Powerwolf, we're still making Powerwolf stuff. And here's our new Powerwolf album. And it never stops from beginning to end.
And I find it really cool because it has that sort of metal opera vibe to it.
Yeah.
Like, they push it out there. They go to the extreme, even though it's very tongue-in-cheek.
It's very tongue-in-cheek. They have, you know, the church organy backdrops and with the metal guitars, and they have all their music videos are fairly sexually driven and very strange, but it's Powerwolf. That's how it goes. They have a lot of really great songs on this, like Fire and Forgive is how they kick off the album, which just has a great chorus. Then you have songs like Demons Are a Girl's Best Friend, which is another very tongue-in-cheek kind of a song where it obviously plays off the
saying
Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, which I thought was like, so perfect. Demons are a girl's best friend, because everybody knows it's true.
True.
But the song that I have presented off this list is one that's very fast and very, like you just feel it. You feel that power metal running through your veins, and everybody is a demon-possessed, sexually crazed clergyman possessed by some sort of werewolf creature called Venom of Venus.
Come bless desire, bring us home.
And that was Venom of Venus by Powerwolf off the new album Sacrament of Sin. Evan, what do you got for your number 8?
Well, from one sexually charged For the Laughs album to another, I'm so excited that Turbo Negro are back with their first album in 6 years that plays strong homage to 80s synth rock while keeping to the core of the band's death punk iconic sound.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this feels like the album where the new frontman, because originally from like its start to, I want to say, 2010, it was Hank Von Helvet who left the band at around that time. And they brought in someone else who goes by the name The Duke of Nothing. And in 2012, when they released Sexual Harassment, it was a good album, but you could tell that those songs were supposedly tailor-made from the previous frontman.
Yep.
This album feels like it was truly tailor-made for Duke of Nothing, while keeping to the trueness that is Turbo Negro's really crazy, sexually charged For the Laughs lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about the album, too, is like with previous records, they pay strong homage to past musicians. Like, there's a very AC/DC-inspired title track. You've got, like, the Van Halen-style of Special Education. And then you've got, like, as odd of a title as Skinhead Rock and Roll is, it's got this very Journey feel to it when you listen to it.
Yep.
Turbo Negro, like Powerwolf, are a band that just truly can make the dirtiest of things sound epic and fun. And this album, Rock and Roll Machine, I can't believe I kept forgetting to say the album title throughout this whole thing. Rock and Roll Machine, it captures it to a T. And I don't know if you've listened to much of this album when you were... I did listen.
Yeah, oh, okay. I listened to bits and pieces. I listened to Skinhead Rock and Roll and the first two other tracks, I believe, okay, as well. Yeah, they were fun.
What's interesting about the song that I'm going to spin right now is that Turbo Negro themselves did not write this song. It was actually sent to them by Howlin' Peel and Nicholas Arson from the band The Hives.
Uh-huh.
They had emailed the bands like, hey, we wrote a Turbo Negro song. They saw it and went, oh my god, this is a Turbo Negro song. Can we use it? And they're like, sure. And this is the song that I'm going to spin for you right now from Rock and Roll Machine Hero Turbo Negro with Let the Punishment Fit the Behind.
Rolling through a wasteland I used to call my home, but someone stole this city and claimed it as their own. Survived the Oslo sunset on pills and alcohol, knowing that tomorrow the hammer's gonna fall. So let the punishment fit the behind. I wear the badge, you can do the time. Let the punishment fit the behind. My kind of justice, my kind of crime. I traded all my records for soup held in a can. I sold my latest punchline, thought the money made the man. I ended up
Oh,
And that was Let the Punishment Fit the Behind from Turbo Negro off of their Rock and Roll Machine album, my number 8 for 2018. And now we're going to travel a couple of countries over to Finland.
That's right. So, Evan and I both had the very, very, very special pleasure of even meeting this band this year.
Yeah.
So not only did they release a new album, but we met them, and that's our boys over at Korpiklaani. One, first off, they're very cool guys, and everybody should listen to the interview we had with them when we went to go see them live. Two, their new album, Kilkuja, is freaking awesome.
Mm.
This album is not as heavy or as fast as their other albums. This is a slower, more relaxed album, which kind of goes along with the title, which is it roughly translates to wanderer or waylander, like someone who's traveling and is a vagabond and is like floating and drifting off. And
like, I'm getting more of a vibe of like someone walking through the forest, and this is what's going on through their brain.
Yeah, I think the album cover really makes a good mess, where it's just like this really quiet village town with the mountains off in the distance and this and the plains just going on forever. And this album really speaks to that, because the song that we're going to be playing for you is not a really big metal song. It's still a folk metal song, as Korpiklaani is really good for.
Which I do want to point out that I'm glad that we have some really strong folk aspects on this list.
Because
here in America, there really wasn't much going on with like the folk punk scene.
Yep.
That's why I'm glad we have Korpiklaani on this list. And on my J-pop list, we had the Cherry Cokes, which is like Japan's answer to Flogging Molly.
Ah. Yeah, so Kilkuja brought this really interesting aspect of Korpiklaani that you didn't really get to hear on any of the other albums, where, you know, you have crazy songs like Vodka and their amazing cover of the Ivan Polka, and just bringing it down to this level and listening to one song after another that was just like, I'm a wanderer and I'm a waylander and we're traveling through Finland. And
you know what it kind of makes me think of? Like, you ever go to a party, and then afterwards you go to like a party to calm down from that previous party?
Okay,
party.
Yep.
Like, this is kind of like an album you put on after that big party. One of the things, it's kind of reminiscent of like how you're talking about it being a little bit softer than the previous albums.
Yep.
It reminds me of when I was talking about Sorrel and Pimp Sessions' album Dapper, where instead of that heavy death jazz that normally you do, it was like that cool little suave kind of jazz. That's what I'm feeling with this Korpiklaani album, because it decides this is the album for when people need a breather.
Yeah, and it took me a little bit to get used to this album from their previous songs. Like, I want something really fast, but the more I listened to it, I was just like, oh, those violins are so beautiful, and oh, that riff and that chorus is just so wonderful, which is what I think about this song that we're going to play for you now. This song is just beautiful, the violin, wonderful, chorus, stunning. And that song is Harmaya.
Thank you. vaid ei kosket, kuin haikeana. Aika minä hendon hauraimman aina käsini suojaisin. Sinun minä pelkään tuulin jo katoavan. Aikon aika aamun yksin tuo hanki kuiskaa kuin hiljaisin. Avaan kämmeneni tunnen uuteen untuvan.
Harmaya by Korpiklaani off of their new album, Kilkuja. Next up for Evan.
We're actually going to stay put in Finland for this.
Ooh.
We're actually going to be talking about a band who released their first album in 36 years.
Oh.
And this is actually a group that I've heard many other bands that I follow mention in interviews as being an inspiration. And they're called Musta Parate.
Musta Parate.
And they have a brand new vocalist, someone who's actually friends with Korpiklaani, Jirik 69 of the band The 69 Eyes. And this is just an awesome, like, goth rock album.
It
like,
really...
I can't remember the last time I heard something, like, brooding and rocking at the same time.
Yeah, like the vocals just... I don't want to say scream goth rock because that doesn't say it. Like, they just drone goth rock.
The way that I like to describe it is it sounds like Iggy Pop fronting Depeche Mode.
Ah, okay.
And I mean that in the most positive ways because, man, it feels like...
Those are two names that I really like, so...
this whole album, it just feels like one vampire anthem after another. Like, songs like Noc der Tonte, and then you've got, like, a dance song, like, Radio, and then you've got, like, this demon-infused Reaper. And what I like about this album, Black Parade, which actually is what Musta Parate means, is that... It can be very fast-paced one moment, like in a song like Today, and then it could go very slow in Animosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people don't talk about this band, Musta Parate, like they should be, because they are very influential in a lot of bands that are out these days. So hopefully with this album, Black Parade, and they're supposed to be touring in America, hopefully in 2019.
Oh, interesting.
Hopefully, like, grabbing the attention that they rightfully deserve, because, man, this album actually made me go back and listen to their previous stuff, which sounds almost similar, but with the original vocalist, it sounds kind of strange, but at the same time, you get where this album was trying to recapture that sound, but for a more modernistic take.
Oh, interesting.
So, Black Parade, number 7 on my list from Mustaparati. A true return of what goth rock should be, in my honest opinion. I know The Cure is supposed to be releasing something next year, and people are probably going to be talking about, this is the return of goth rock. No, 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 no. Black Parade is the return of goth rock. And the song I'm about to play is one called The Race Is On. With The Race Is On from my number 7 pick, Black Parade. Andrew, let's dive into number 6.
All right, our number 6 picks. Well, so this band kind of came along with my whole love of power metal continuing on this whole year. And they were a band, another band, they weren't gone as long as Mustaparati, but they were off the radar for quite a while. And with them making this return, they also kind of tweaked their name a little bit. A lot of people knew them as Ex Libris, two separate words. This album they released under Ex Libris, one word. And I was like, is that the same band? And then I found out, that is the same band. Very strange. So their new album came out this year called Inertia. And that's Inertia spelled incorrectly with two N's.
Yeah.
They are a Polish band. I believe. And they have this kind of power metal sound, but it's not full power metal. It's really a heavy metal power metal sound, where you have this kind of classical heavy metal sound mixed with really speedy guitars and multiple vocalists at one. They have one lead vocalist, but they have a few backup vocalists, which really create this texture to all the songs on their albums. One of my favorite songs on the album is called Amorphous. Amorphous is just
which
like,
is actually probably my favorite track because I love the whole electro metal vibe that it has.
Yeah, and the chorus is just beautiful. Like the way they have this build up to like it's almost like you're climbing this mountain throughout the whole chorus, and then it comes right screaming back down to kind of cool the chorus off. It was just such a great build and composition for that. But man, the whole album from beginning to end is just this journey. And I think it actually might be a really good starter for people who might be interested in power metal, but don't want to go that full, like, kind of like screamy kind of way. This might get you into it, you know, and understand it a little bit, where it's coming from. This album in particular has helped me with my art this year.
Okay.
Listening to this album, it's very inspirational for the comic book that I'm currently working on at home. The name of the main character is Thunder, and there's a wonderful track on this song called Thunderbird, which just kind of feels like this wonderful saying, like, hey, we wrote you an opening theme song to your comic book. And I was like, okay, thanks, Ex Libris. I'm going to use it. Yeah, so the song that we're going to be playing to you from Ex Libris' new album, Inertia, is the wonderful, great power metal hit, Thunderbird.
A ray of light in a far eon will set. We'll be right back.
I see the light of new dawn. God is the night. Here comes the storm. Let this be the day the world finally listens to those who have something to say.
That was that rockin' hit, Thunderbird, by Ex Libris off their new album, Inertia. Evan, what do you have for number six?
Well, on the other side of the spectrum, we're going to go into a little bit of dream pop with a band that really got my attention this year called Soft Science. And their brand new album is called Maps. And Maps is just a blend of beautiful vocals and some really powerful rock melodies. One of the bands that really got me into the dream pop genre was I'm actually wearing the shirt of them right now, a Sobe Seksu. This was not intentional that I'm wearing this shirt right now with the Sobe
Seksu. That's all right, I'm wearing my Sabaton shirt. Probably because I'm like, oh, they're not on this list this year.
Next year, maybe.
Maybe next year.
But Soft Science, there's this sort of like majestic soundscapes that they create in songs like Undone and Diverging with their killer bass riffs. And then they've got these like very bouncing vibes in Still. And my favorite song off of there, and I think I played this on a previous episode of No Borders No Races, is a song called Sooner. And it has this kind of killer motive to take down a guilty party with one hell of a guitar blaring throughout the speakers. It's such a cool song. And the whole concept of Maps, it feels like you're listening to a journey through a dream. And it's just simply beautiful from start to finish. It is an exciting dream pop album that I feel like it rocks hard and soft when it comes to its rock virtuosity when it calls for it. And I highly recommend people check this album out. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been on my list, of course.
Yeah, I had a good time listening to it. It's not my normal genre that I listen to, but every once in a while, if I'm looking for a nice taste change, I listen to some of these little electro-poppy ones, and I'm like, this could work for me. Okay. So yeah, so I had fun.
Terrific. And the song that I'm going to be playing from Maps, here at Soft Science, with the song There.
Thank you. Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is an interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITThinkThisIsGreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
And now for something completely different, Andrew.
So we're, like, taking your audience and we're throwing them against the wall. Like, we're not just, like, pushing them from one side to the other. We're, like, just throwing them to the ropes and smashing them from wall to wall. Because here we go. Are you ready for some impending doom? Well, guess what? I was, because this was a band that hadn't released in about 5 years, which at that point you eventually think, oh no, they've broken up and you're not going to hear from them again. One random day, I have no idea why this came to my mind. It was in June, like at the end of June, I was just like, I wonder what Impending Doom's up to. And I typed them into Google and it said, Impending Doom announces new album coming out. And I was just like, I literally was just thinking about them. Why are they releasing an album now? Like, that's amazing! Did I do this? So Impending Doom is deathcore. And I don't know how many of your audience listens to deathcore, but it's pretty heavy stuff.
We should make another point. Like, because when you were telling me about this band, I decided to look them up beforehand, and it says, Impending Doom are a Christian deathcore, and I stop right there, and I'm like, huh? Yeah. What? One of these things is not like the other.
Except it is. It's so great. There's so many. There are actually so many Christian metal bands out there that are just so, like, niche. But a lot of people don't care. You know, it's just like when you're listening, there's like, we don't care that it's Christian. We care that it's good.
Yeah.
And man, Doom to me is one of the best. You know, you listen to a lot of deathcore and you listen to it over and over and over again and you're like, okay, I kind of get it. It all kind of starts to sound the same after a while. But in this new album, which is the Sin and Doom Volume 2, they really did a great job at, one, returning to being into Impending Doom, two, to making every song that they release on this album sound a little bit different. Like, they kick off with The Wretched and the Godless, and it's like this really short kick in the teeth ballad that is like the album starts and they just kick you in the mouth and they're just like, okay, good, we got that out of the way. And then you have a song called War Music, which it's a song about how, hey, we're creating music too and you can't tell us how to, like, tell our message, which is, I think Brooke is talking to the other bands out there who are telling him how to write his music, which is really great. I really love it. And then you have the song Paved with Bones, which is like this, I think they built a music video to this song. And the music video was at their first Return concert, where they just, it's an audience throwing each other on stage and then throwing themselves off stage. And it's a wonderful music video and everybody should watch it. The only complaint I would have about this album is that Brooke cut his hair. Brooke, you have wonderful long hair, like that Andrew WK long hair with a clean shave, and now he's got like a beard and a short haircut. That's my only complaint, Brooke, but you know, otherwise, what a wonderful return of one of my favorite Christian bands ever, Impending Doom.
It's really good. I was really taken aback by how good. Like, I can see these guys playing with a Killswitch Engage and even like something like Cannibal Corpse or something
like that. Well, it's funny because these are basically the Christian version of Whitechapel. So Whitechapel is a deathcore band that's kind of anti-Christian, anti-God message, where these guys are like the Christian pro-God message, which is the total opposite of what Whitechapel is. Mm. So and so you have that juxtaposition of the sound. It's really good. So if you like Whitechapel, you might really like Doom. It's really great.
It's like two sides of the coin.
Exactly. So the song that we have chosen for you for Impending Doom is such a beautiful, sweet, teeth-kicking, face-melting deathcore song, one that I love to listen to and spin off this album all the time. It is Unbroken.
We'll be right back.
And that was Unbroken by Impending Doom off the brand new album Sin and Doom Volume 2. Now, Evan, you might be asking, why was it Volume 2? Well, there's a funny story behind that. There's really no true Volume 1 to that, so nobody go looking for it in case you're wondering, because it was actually based off of their demo tape. Their demo tape is technically Volume 1. It's kind of signifying, hey, we're Impending Doom and we've returned. Volume 2. Great.
Alright.
Evan, what do you got for yours?
Alright, so once again, we're going to another side of music with some good folk punk by one of my favorite people on the planet, Frank Turner, whom I was so happy I got to interview this guy because he's been one of my favorite singers and songwriters of, like, this century. And his new album, Be More Kind, is a fantastic follow-up to his previous album, Positive Songs for Negative People. And despite him saying in his interview that he hopes that people find answers outside of music when it comes to issues and problems, he gives a lot of very good advice in this album. With, like, Don't Worry, the title track Be More Kind, and even a song called Common Ground, which is where people trying to find some, you know, leverage between, like, two opposing sides. And hey, here's something we can agree on, which I think is a very powerful message. And it also makes some very, very good points about, you know, just don't be a prude, don't be a jerk. And songs like, well, Make America Great Again, which it's not about something like that if you're hearing that. Or a song like Get It Right. And a lot of times when I'm hearing Frank Turner, it reminds me a little bit of Pete Seeger when it comes to, like, pushing a stronger message of togetherness and just how we should be all loving and accepting of everyone, no matter what they believe in, where they are raised, and where they came from. I think Frank Turner really hit the mark on this album. I think a lot of people can find some really good stuff and find some really good advice in his album, Be More Kind.
This is definitely us throwing you up against the wall once again. Bring you down off the high of doom.
Yes.
But he is a very, very, very talented songwriter. Lyrically, I'm just like, okay, I get it. I see what he's going for. But, like, one of the things that I definitely know about him is Frank Turner is definitely a very talented person when it comes to composing music.
Absolutely. Not to mention, he is Cuckoo Kangaroo's number one fan.
That's right.
So the song I'm about to play from this album, Be More Kind, is There She Is.
I have wandered through the dark, through the dirt. I was hurt, and in the end I came back to the start. And I stumbled, Lord knows how I stumbled. Slipped on myself, no help from anyone else. I fell in love, and I was humbled. There she is. Isn't she everything? There she is. Isn't she everything? Down at the bottom, I found the things I'd forgotten. And despite all I've done, I can learn. And this time, I'm gonna hold on to them. I'm gonna forgive myself, and then ask for forgiveness. Crossing my fingers and toes, cause God only knows I need this. Lord, how I need this. There she is. Isn't she everything? There she is. Isn't she everything? Isn't she everything I need? I needed someone who'd believe me. I needed someone who wouldn't leave me. I needed her. I will give
Turner with There She Is from my number 5 pick for album of 2018, Be More Kind. All right, Andrew, let's throw the audience on the wall again.
I mean, geez, man, like, we couldn't have prepped this list, like, more perfectly as being like, help! Somebody help me! So, with a triumphant return to the street metal scene, after being picked up by Nuclear Blast Records, one of my favorite metal record labels ever. They have the best metal labels or metal names out there.
Yeah, they have Sabaton on there.
Sabaton, Twilight Force. If you're good, a good metal, you're good if you're on Nuclear Blast. We got it. So, who else is on Nuclear Blast? Well, that's my boys over at Rise of the North Star. Your favorite New York 90s street metal Japanese enthusiast French band. So this year they released the album Legacy of She, and with the lead singer Vitha, she is a demon that possesses him, is what he says.
Yeah,
and she. So this is the Legacy of She. Who is she? And that's she, S-H-I-I. Well, he's kind of the punk that possessed him to really get him into this hardcore thrash street mood of like, ooh, like I wanna grow up and I wanna be this guy, you know. And it's a really...
Well, we shouldn't make the point that she, while that is Japanese for the number 4,
yep,
also means death.
Yep. And that's true. Yeah, that is very true. So this album is almost another narrative album, where it's another story about Vitha growing up from when he was a kid up into his adulthood and to where he was able to create Rise. Mm-hmm. And, oh man, I gotta tell you, man, this is another album where it's just like, first song right out of the gate just kicks you in the teeth, and it's just like, we're here, and we're Rise of the North Star, and guys, you gotta come to the United States, man! Like, come to the United States! We know you were recording in New York. You recorded this album in New York with the Gojira guy. You're like, yes. Did you know that? They recorded the same album as Gojira. Like, that's amazing. That's so incredible. That was in New York, and so they really love, you know, the street culture over here to get this kind of music going. Mixed with their wonderful love of Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
And so this was just another album by them where I was just like, yeah, it's more Rise of the North Star, and I want more of them faster, you know? I wish they would release more albums soon, because like waiting 4 years for another album is just too much. And unfortunately on this album, they lost Hokuto no Kev, which is the drummer. But they actually have videos talking about that. Him and Vitha are still friends. He just couldn't commit to the band. Basically, Vitha wants like 110%. Like, if this is your life, this is like Rise is your life, yes, kind of a thing. And Hokuto no Kev couldn't commit to that, and so he was just like, it's fine, man. Well, we have to find a new drummer, but here we go, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Is it the drummer? I think it's the drummer. Yeah, because Phantom is the new drummer.
Okay.
So,
I do have to say, because I'm a very, very big sucker when it comes to French hip-hop, so, yep, like, Teenage Rage is, like, my favorite song off of this album.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And another thing that they did with this album is they put more French in it.
Yes, that's why I love the Teenage Rage.
Exactly, like, yeah.
So it's like
that's what made me think of it. Yeah,
it's like they put that New York metal culture, mixed it with the Japanese culture, which is in the lyrics, mm-hmm, and then they put their own culture.
Yeah, because yeah, that was one of the things that Vitha was saying as he was bringing up this album was, hey, we got to put more of our culture into this. Like, this is like, we're French and we're Frenchmen, and we're gonna like represent our culture. So, mm-hmm, so what song did I pick for this? It's that first teeth-kicking song that kicks off the album. Because, man, they released this as their first single when they were returning, and I was in love.
This is the one where they have the Bruins jersey, right?
I think so. I think he just loves that jacket. And yeah, because it makes me so thrilled. We just got to have a go meet them and just have a big Bruins conversation with them. Because if they really love the Bruins, then we're good. We love more things than just metal. Mm-hmm. So, what song is this? This song is Here Comes the Boom. Here Comes the Boom by my boys, Rise of the North Star, off their new album, Legacy of She. So, Evan, what do you have for your number four pick?
So, the very interesting story about the recording of this album, and it's from one of my all-time favorite vocalists, Nico Case. While she was recording this album, there was a huge fire at her home, and she almost lost everything in her barn, which played into the attitude and personality that this record would go on to have. And this album is called Hell On. And one moment she's like serenading people with a song like Halls of Sarah. Mm-hmm. And then she's like stabbing you in the eyes with a song like Dirty Diamond. She's one of those people, and I've said this in one of my reviews of her, one of her previous albums in the past, she is the only singer who can roar like a lion and coo like a dove at the exact same time. One of the most powerful vocalists out there. And on top of these other good songs, she has some fantastic collaborations on this record with Mark Lanegan on the song Curse of the I-5 Corridor and Eric Bachman in the song Sleep All Summer. even when she's singing about having bad luck or a deity being a lusty tire fire in the title track, there's always something truly uplifting when you ever hear Nico Case sing. She's one of my absolute favorites, and Hell On just continues on with the trend of just how good of a singer and a songwriter she has become throughout the years. And that's why Hell On is number 4 on my list. And the song that we're going to be playing off of Hell On is Last Lion of Albion.
Early in the morning, well, I used to be asleep. As a tiny business lay, don't let the cattails fool you. Down in the bottom, when nothing is born, sleeps a silver dollar with your face thereon. Wish I could trace the frowning compass of your mind. Got a mercury.
My number 4 pick. And now, listeners, we're going to be doing something a little bit special with these next 2 albums because we have some common ground here.
That's right. The next 2 songs, both number 3 pick and number 2 pick, we were like, well, that's one of my favorite albums from the year, too. And, oh, man, they were so good. Oh. So, okay, so let's talk about number 3.
We have to actually make mention that we just saw this pick
live in concert, and holy crap, it was probably one of the best shows they've ever seen live, because it's a theatrical spectacle.
Exactly.
And that's our boy Tobias Forge over at Ghost. So, a lot of people, man, are really fighting back against Ghost, because I think they've been having a problem with Ghost people saying, oh, Ghost is a metal band, and then metalheads are like, no, Ghost is not a metal band, and it's just like, well, you're in luck, they don't label themselves as a metal band. But what are they, you know? Well, they're a theatrical shock rock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're in the same vein as Alice Cooper, as Gwar, as Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Man, Tobias Forge, what a composer, man. He knows how to compose some good music, and for me, Prequel is the 2018 album that came out.
Yes.
With you know, the Cardinal, the new Cardinal, that's
Cardinalcopia,
following their narrative of Ghost.
And what I like about the Cardinal for this one, because if you look at their all the other past lead singers in the group, I'm saying lead singers
with air quotes.
Air quotes.
Heavy air quotes.
Heavier air quotes, is that each of these different lead singers had a different persona. Where Emeritus III was this little really cool swong guy. Colonel Copy is kind of a dork.
And I love him for it. I love Emeritus the Third. This character is cool. I like him.
Yeah.
But then the Cardinal came along and I was just like, the Cardinal is my man. Like, he is a cool dude. So yeah, I'm super thrilled about the Cardinal character. He's great. And so he should be, because this album, dude, I can listen to this album from beginning to end, just
no questions asked.
I listened from when it came out. I listened to it from beginning to end at least once a day at work, every single day. Mm. It was so amazing.
Yeah,
such beautiful compositions and such amazing work.
I mean, he knows how to hit it heavy with songs like Faith and Rats, but then he knows how to be sweet with songs like Life Eternal and Pro Memoria.
Mm.
And then you've also got like two excellent, excellent instrumentals in the form of Miasma, which features the saxophone
from so on stage the
saxophone.
On stage it is definitely, they drag him on, and he's this old dude who rips on a saxophone. It's pretty great. Mm.
So with that song, and then let's see if I can pronounce this right. Helvet Stefonsta. I don't know if I said that properly, but
I don't know either.
Excellent, excellent instrumentals. And unlike the previous albums, this is very much more arena rock based.
Yes.
And that is the route that Tobias is going for when it comes to this particular album, because the songs were built to be blared through arenas and even stadiums.
Which I'm totally cool with, because as much as I've been getting used to the sound of Ghost on the older albums and liking the older albums, this is the album that made me love Ghost. Love Ghost.
Yeah.
So, like, I listened to this album. These are beautiful and perfect compositions that sound amazing, and the lyrics are so well put together. Oh, and then I went back and listened to Meloria, and then I was like, okay, I get Meloria now. It's not as good as Prequel.
Yeah.
But I went back and I was like, now I can listen to this album. So
it was as if Square Hammer was like the beginning of what Ghost was going to evolve
into. Exactly, because Square Hammer is, as the Cardinal calls it, a banger. We play you the banger, and then we leave.
And then we come back again.
Yeah.
But yeah, seriously, go see Ghost live, because you're not going to see, well, besides Alice Cooper, you won't see another show like this.
Yeah, they're on tour right now on the Pale Horse called Ghost Tour.
A Pale Horse Named Death. A Pale Tour Named Death.
Pale Tour, that's what it is.
Pale Tour Named Death.
Pale Tour Named Death.
And I know they're going to be touring with Metallica in Europe starting at the beginning of 2019.
Ooh, metalheads are not going to like that.
You might be surprised. I mean, their album has been chosen as the number one pick by many of, like, mm-hmm. metal's top-rated magazines out there.
Which is super interesting. And I think that's why a lot of metalheads are butthurt. But hey, I'm a metalhead. I'm a metalhead.
And you know what this is? This is baby metal all over again.
Yeah, it really is. And again, I thought baby metal was some good metal.
Yes.
And I'm a metalhead.
Me too.
Yeah, and so, and I love Ghost. And I'm a metalhead. So all you haters out there who say, metal, they're not real metal, it's just like, doesn't matter. Ghost is awesome.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Precisely. And now the song that we're going to play next, you're kind of disappointed that they didn't do this particular song live. And it's a song called See the Light.
Many a sin I have witnessed. compared to you.
From their number 3 album, Prequel. Well, our number 3 pick for best album of 2018.
And you know, it's kind of nice that they didn't play that song live, because then they didn't play all of their good songs live. Which, that whole album is good, but, you know.
Right, you gotta say something for next time.
They can, well, and they can, people can go get the album and listen to it, you know.
So. Exactly.
Yep.
And with the title of Prequel, you have to, like, read that as, this is going to be leading up to something.
Something.
Whether the Cardinal is going to become a pulp with a face man or face paint and everything.
The skull paint.
Or the skull paint. Or if it may lead to something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So for our number 2 album, and I feel like this is a band that truly represents what Wicked Anime is all about. And we heard that he was coming out with a new album, but we were not expecting it to be like this.
We didn't know. We just had no idea. And man... number 2!
Andrew W.K.
Andrew W.K.'s triumphant return. And dude, there's literally no other way to describe this album than triumphant.
Yes.
Dude, when he released... Remember when... I remember the day that he released his first single, which was Music Is Worth Living For.
Yeah.
Oh, it like grabbed my heart, and I listened to it maybe like 5 times in a row, just over and over and over. And you know, me and my brother were sitting in the room, and we were just like, dude, this is good. Like, this is good. It's almost like Andrew W.K. was able to remember, not remember who he was, but remember who he was kind of a thing.
Well, the way that I like to think of it is that it still has that partying mantra, but at the same time, he threw in a lot of the stuff that he learned while he was being a motivational speaker
into it.
So while it also parties, it also educates as well.
That's right. And, dude, I don't know, man. Music is worth living for. Like, that song alone... I would have bought that album if the album was literally just music is worth living for 10 times in a row and then nothing, and then the CD breaks itself and then it never plays again. I would have bought that CD still, because dude, I listened to that song every single day up until the album got released at work. Oh, it was so good. But man, that's not the only good song on this album.
Right. I mean, you've got songs like Ever Again, Give Up On You, which is about not giving up on you.
Well, in the same way that the song The Devil Is On Your Side is not about siding with the devil. It's about the devil is on your side because he's working against you and you can beat him.
Exactly.
Like, oh, like, Andrew WK, you're the best! You know, it's just like, oh, I love him so much, man. I love him. And we got to meet him.
Yes.
We got to meet him.
And he's a chill dude.
Oh, he's so cool. Oh, he's so cool. And, so I have a signed album from him at home. And the way I one of the things that makes me love him so much is he signs his albums, Love Andrew WK. You know, it's not like, from Andrew WK or thanks Andrew WK. It's love Andrew WK. You know, it's just like,
yes.
You're my fan and I understand that that you we're like we're people, you know, and we like, oh, he's my man.
Absolutely.
He's my man.
And not to mention he got to record something for the Hardcore
Anime. That's right,
anime
he did. He recorded a little bit for the Hardcore Anime panel there. My personal favorite song off this album is besides Music Is Worth Living For, is Keep On Going.
Mine has to be Don't Know Anything.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Because
I Don't Know Anything has that sort of very, like, classic I Get Wet vibe to it,
yeah.
Especially in the piano.
Yeah. Keep On Going is really good for me because 2017 was a really hard year for me. You know, I lost my father. And so Keep On Going was almost like he released the song and it was just like, this is for you, man. And because Keep On Going is exactly that. Like, life is tough.
Yes.
But you gotta keep on going. And it's just like, you're right. You gotta keep on going. No matter what life throws at you, you gotta keep on going.
And I feel like that's what makes this probably not only one of this year's best albums, but probably the most positive record out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot about, you know, Frank Turner's album, Be More Kind. I like to put the two of them together because of how similar they are in tone, because he's reminding his audience, they're both reminding their audiences, they're reminding their fans that there is a lot of tough shit going on.
Yeah.
But you need to keep on going, you need to be the best you can, and you have to keep on delivering more kindness to this world in order for it to become a much more kinder world.
Oh, it's such a beautiful album, and it deserves number two. Like, oh my gosh, like, this almost could have been number one.
This, you know, almost like, was number one.
Yeah, this almost could have been number one. And man, oh man, like everybody needs this album. I don't care if you don't want this album. You need this album. This is a good album and a triumphant return from one of the most talented musicians and nicest people on the face of this planet.
Well, I find it very interesting because we're pushing the album and I've read like many reviews of this album and people like, even like people like Pitchfork and Consequence of Sound and all these people were like, I did not realize I needed an album like this.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And the song that we're going to spin is the one that we have been talking about mostly in this segment. We're going to play Music Is Worth Living For.
Yeah. Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
So what could possibly be at number one, Evan? I don't even know.
You know, I know. Yep. This is unfortunately where we have to split different paths again.
That's right. And it's kind of interesting that number one is a different is kind of a different one. So you guys are getting two number one albums of the year.
Yeah.
And so the album that I've picked for everybody is a band that, man, right down my alley. They... Yeah, I say they. It's really a husband and wife team, and they make some of the greatest music ever. They do it digital. It's in the digital hardcore realm. My favorite band, Rabbit Junk.
Yeah,
one of my top favorite bands, Rabbit Junk. And the fact that they released an album this year was so great because they were another one of those bands where they hadn't released in a long time, and we were really afraid that maybe they weren't going to release anymore. But that was just J.P. Anderson, the frontman of Rabbit Junk, getting married and figuring out, like, the studio jobs that he had to do and creating these little music projects that were remixes and everything. He remastered a few of his songs, and we got a bunch of EPs and remasters. But this is the first... new studio album release of Rabbit Junk, and I had to sit a whole year on this album. I've had this album since January, and for me to think this is my number one album this year, and I've been listening to it for an entire year already, and I'm still like, that's some Rabbit Junk right there. Rabbit Junk, that's a great sign. So this is, it's a very different album than all the other Rabbit Junk albums, where the other Rabbit Junk albums were very lyrical, had a story to them. Your first album, that they had Reframe, which is still one of my favorite albums of all time, was super lyrical and told stories of, you know, sadness and kind of even like that high school emo within everybody. When you have, especially when you have songs like Only in My Head Can You Hear Me Scream or something like that, which is one of my favorite songs. This is a very much more experimental, electronic, digital hardcore composition album.
Yeah.
Where there are songs with lyrics, which is the song that I'm going to be playing with you that is a very lyrical song. But a lot of the songs are, the lyrics are used almost as a texture instrument. Mm. Where he sings, but it's not about the singing, it's about how those vocals mix into the melody of the music.
Which, by the way, the music on this album is just pure badass. Like, why aren't there, like, action movies using these songs?
Right? And see, that's what I think about people like... another one of my favorite bands, Grendel, who does a lot of electronic music, and J.P. Anderson of Rabbit Junk. I think they really want to work on movie soundtracks. They keep making albums so that somebody will be like, build a movie soundtrack for me. And they will, because J.P. Anderson, this is a fun fact, J.P. Anderson did do music for documentaries like Shark, like a Shark Week documentary and Adventure to Mars. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So this album is like this whole new narrative. You've got like super bangers like Art of Defiance, which is like a super speed. We used the crap out of Rabbit Junk for our panels this year at Anime Boston. But the one that I really, really want to present to everybody to be like, guys, you got to listen to this album, is the Rabbit Junk song, Gravity Hero.
Step aside. I will fly. Gravity is just a state of mind.
Gravity is just a state of mind.
was Gravity Hero by Rabbit Junk off of the new album Rabbit Junk Will Die: Meditations of Mortality. That was the full title, but everybody will just know it as Will Die. But Evan, what do you got for us for your number one album, man?
Well, people will probably guess, like how you love Rabbit Junk so much that you know you're going to put it on the number one.
Yep.
People know that I love this band so much that I will more than likely put them on the top of my list. And it goes to a band that is no stranger to Album of the Year picks, because this is one of the very few bands that have actually taken the spot more than once. And it's a band from Toronto, Canada called Fucked Up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had announced a special single to be released in June to celebrate something, I think, for a day called Dreams Day. I don't know if this is a real holiday or a fake holiday. It could be a fake holiday, because as soon as they released a single, they're like, oh, by the way, we have a new album coming out, and it's called Dose Your Dreams. And Dose Your Dreams is a spiritual sequel to their 2011 rock opera, David Comes to Life, which was my pick for Album of the Year in 2011.
All right.
And my number one pick for top album from 2006 to 2015 when celebrating No Borders, No Races' 10th anniversary. It's a good album. This album trounces David Comes to Life. So, Dose Your Dreams is inspired by James Joyce's novel Ulysses, and it revisits the character of David, who is stuck at a job he really hates. Sound familiar?
Yeah, very.
One day, he visits, or rather, a sorceress by the name of Joyce comes to him and says, I can help you out with your problem. She opens his mind, and he travels through his thoughts and rediscovers himself, finding the true meaning to what he's been living on for. And one of the big reasons why I love this album so much is how incredibly eclectic it is.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked Up are known for being a mostly hardcore punk band, but they always know how to experiment with various different kinds of genres in their music.
Yep.
So you got like your regular punk music in House of Keys. Then they move on to doing a shoegaze kind of song called How to Die Happy. Then they'll do something with dream pop with King Down Wrong. And then out of nowhere, you'll start hearing Beach Boys-like melodies and a track like Love is an Island in the Sea. And one of the big reasons why I feel like this album is better than David Comes to Life is that their frontman, Damian Abraham, instead of him playing all the characters on the album, they actually brought in guest musicians to come in and play the various different people, which I felt did a much better job with, like, showing, okay, he was talking here, he was talking there, and on top of that, it just fleshed out the story so much better. And I gotta say, like, for a band that has showcased one career-defining album after another, from their first album, Hidden World, to their iconic Chemistry of Common Life, to David Comes to Life, and then an album like Glass Boys, which kind of like felt like it ended a chapter of Fucked Up's career, Dose Your Dreams manages to open up the next chapter and just blow expectations away. I always like to compare listening to an album by Fucked Up to riding a roller coaster, because when you hear the first song, it kind of starts out very slowly, like you're ascending a very top hill, and then all of a sudden, boom! It just pushes you into this crazy, insane thrill ride for over 80 minutes long. And I find it funny, your Album of the Year pick is really short.
Yeah.
Mine is ridiculously long.
Oh man, what is it, like 18 tracks or something like that?
18 tracks.
So long. But man, you're right, these guys are so talented. They are so talented.
And I have to say, the last track on this album, Joy Stops Time, probably the greatest song they've ever written. I listen to this song every single day. I've been listening to it every day since I got the album in October. It is one of the most beautiful tracks you'll ever see. It's in your face, but it's filled with so much heart. And I don't know where Fucked Up is going to go next after this record, but one thing is definitely certain. Dose Your Dreams is how you truly start the next chapter of a band's career. And I can't wait to see what they're going to be able to accomplish next. Mm. Dose Your Dreams is my pick for album of the year, and Fucked Up just keep doing such great, amazing things. And I know people are turned off by that. They can be turned off by the name of the band. Trust me, there's a reason why the New York Times freaking loves these guys. I know we joke about them. We joke about New York Times in our most recent Wicked Anime episode. But when some of the most respected critics come up and say, this band's good, you gotta pay attention. So, Dose Your Dreams, number one album of 2018. And the song I am going to play is a song that when this song came out, before the album was fully released, I listened to it over and over again. Kind of like how you listen to Music Is Worth Living For from Andrew WK every single day. This song is called Normal People.
I see guys at night drinking in bars, talking to girls and driving cars. They heard about this place from a magazine. One of their best friends is Bean. They all laugh and joke like there's nothing wrong, like they are right where they belong. Says the entire way.
was Fucked Up with Normal People off of their album Dose Your Dreams, my number one pick for album of the year. And congratulations to both Fucked Up and Rabbit Junk for our picks for album of the year. Yay! Clap, 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 clap. So before we finish up, before we dive into our usual promo stuff, let's talk briefly about what we are looking forward to in 2019, because there are a lot of bands that are releasing albums
in the next few months. Oh my gosh, like it's unbelievable. So for me, the bands that I know that are already planning to release for 2019 is Dawn of Ashes. And Christoph is planning on making this new Dawn of Ashes album. He's calling it Crypt Injection 2. So for those of you who don't know Dawn of Ashes, they're an extreme metal band, but they started as an agrotech band. And this is called Crypt Injection 2 Non-Servian because he's planning on going back to all agrotech and no metal. So back to roots? Sounds good. I'm in. Next, the other band that announced a new album release is Rhapsody of Fire. Rhapsody of Fire did. A lot of people will know them as just simply Rhapsody, but Rhapsody of Fire is like the new, like, we have a new singer, we're remastering all of our old works. This is a new album from Rhapsody of Fire, so that's going to be exciting, especially for power metal heads like myself. We also have hints and clues of people like Sabaton, maybe? Yeah. Like, releasing? So we're like...
Sabaton might be releasing.
If Sabaton is releasing, okay. Twilight Force may be releasing? Okay. And if Twilight Force releases a new album this year, that means that Alessandro is going to be on two albums, because he's going to be on both Rhapsody of Fire and Twilight Force.
And not to mention, we have finally got confirmation that in April, new Rammstein album.
What?
Newest album, and the first new album in 10 years.
So that's probably probably have to be an album that we'd have to coordinate for the next list.
Probably.
See if we can put that on the list.
Rammstein has never released a bad album, so hopefully that will continue the trend.
Let's hope that this is... Dude, I hope that this is probably one of the best albums that they release.
Me too.
Yeah, like I would love... Because everybody's been returning triumphantly. So yes. I want Rammstein to return triumphantly as well. So that'll be really exciting. Hopefully they'll tour again, because I've never seen them live. I've never seen Rammstein live.
I saw
live.
Them 6 years ago. They're fantastic. Yeah. I will see them again.
They're one of my bucket list bands. So,
one other band I'm looking forward to, and I know this is more towards the J-pop list or the Japanese list, but Mono. And Mono is one of those bands you were talking about, like soundtrack. You wish that they could be making soundtracks with Rabbit.
Yep.
Mono is a band you listen to this and you like... If they put this to a movie, it would be the best movie ever. And it's some of the most beautiful instrumental rock out there. And their new album's actually coming out in just a couple of weeks. So I'll have to see if it's going to continue on with their trend. Because they're the only other band besides Fucked Up that have actually taken the number one spot of my top albums list.
Sounds
2009
good.
With Hymn to the Immortal Wind and 2012 for My Parents.
Now, who hasn't announced anything that you hope does release something?
They keep teasing us that they're working in the studio, and then they say, no, we're not working in the studio. For the love of God, System of a Down. I just read something with about the bassist saying, we're working on something.
Yep. Yeah, Shavo did in fact say, hey, there's something in the works. So what the hell could it possibly be, you know? So
I want that to happen. Oh, I'm trying to think of other bands because everyone who I really love released this year.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, I'm hoping for my all-time favorite band, Freedom Call. They haven't released in about 3 years now, so they're due for something, man. And Chris Bay, he's still rocking, so I'm hoping for a Freedom Call release.
And I was just also reading online from Consequence of Sound. I don't know if it was our buddy Cap that wrote about it or one of the other writers over there. Guns N' Roses might actually be hitting the studio with Axl / Duff and the current band for a new record. I'd be very curious.
That would be weird. Wow. That would be very strange.
It would be strange, but it would be really... I'm curious to hear if they could really capture their old style on a new album. And the same can be said about Misfits, because Jerry Only and Danzig have, you know, they buried the hatchet, they've been performing live together. I'm hoping that the two of them can actually go into the studio and, like, bring out an album that's as iconic as Static Age.
That would be wild, man. There's so many possibilities this year. Because for me, there's so many bands that released this year that I was so happy to see release. But there's so many more bands that haven't released. And I'm just waiting. Like, yeah. I'm waiting for another Dog Fashion Disco to come out, but it's all original new stuff.
Yes.
Like, that would be a blast. Oh, so beautiful.
Mm.
So
yeah, those are our hopes for 2019. And to close it out, I gotta say, 2018 for Boston Bass Brigade and Wicked Anime, we have done some amazing things this year.
Yeah.
We got to interview...
On fire.
We got to interview Kwapakoni. I got to interview Frank Turner and Perfume. I got to interview the front woman from Saturday Night Young. I got in good with Viz Media.
Yeah.
It's like... And then you had a lot of highlights as well, too, on your end.
Yep. We have... people that we've bucket listed for interviews, like Steve Bloom and Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, and we've got new shows, new followers, like all kinds of different things. Now, even though Wicked Anime actually might be taking a little bit of a step down, just a little bit of a breather, we're not stopping.
Yeah.
By any means, we're not stopping. But we're taking a little bit of a breather as I try to explore this new art career that I'm going through, and Jonathan is becoming a teacher.
So, yeah.
So we'll see. I probably shouldn't have said that on the air, but that's okay. His students won't find out.
It's fine.
Yeah. So it's going to be a very... I'm very hopeful, both entertainment-wise and life prospect-wise for 2019. It's going to be a pretty wild year.
I hope so, too. I mean, we did just have to sit through one of the worst anime ever with My Sister, My Writer. It's all uphill from there when it comes to entertainment.
Yeah, but we did get to sit through some of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Yes.
We got, I mean, this year, dude, we saw Sabaton live.
Yeah.
We saw Kwapakoni live. We saw Ghost live. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
And those are just the ones that I went to. Those aren't even including the ones that you got to go to.
Right.
So... Just,
I'm like losing track of who I've seen live this year alone.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. But I am very stoked for everyone we saw live. Again, I saw Fucked Up in concert. Like Brighton Music Hall became my go-to place.
Brighton Music Hall is they have here in Boston, they get a lot of really big names on a very small stage, which is quite impressive. Because they're big to us. They're big to us. They're not big to everybody else, but they are big to us. So,
and that's what I love about the bands that we love. We can go from to like a theater to a small club to an arena to see many of these different groups.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, man. Like I thank God every day for the fact that I can go to small shows and see my favorite bands for $25 and not have to worry about loving Taylor Swift and paying $300 for an arena seat to sit all the way in the back to listen to some shitty music.
Yeah, precisely.
So.
Yeah. So, Andrew, thank you once again for joining me here.
Thank you for allowing me to be on, do a top 10 list of my own.
How'd you feel doing it?
I loved it, man. I loved the fact that I could actually have 10 albums this year that I could be like, these are awesome. It actively made me look for more bands that I love that released, and it worked.
Yes.
It worked. So.
Awesome. So, Andrew, why don't you do your little spiel of where people can find all your stuff within and outside of Wicked Anime?
Yeah. So, if you guys would like to follow me personally, you guys can find me on facebook.com/AFLMart, all one word, where that's my art page, and I do commissions, and I'm currently open for commissions, and we can just email me at aflmcreative@gmail.com, and we can do some inquiries on that. You can also find me at instagram.com @AFLM_art, And for Wicked Anime, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com if you want to get into a conversation about anime. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can start a conversation with us there. Comment on anything, look at news articles that we might be sharing around, look at news articles that Evan might be sharing around, different reviews and con information that we might be going to. And of course, you can find us at all the social medias. Tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. Maybe not Tumblr so much anymore, seeing that they're getting a little bit of a shutdown going on and people are kind of exodusing. But hey, I think Twitter is probably the biggest one where people talk to us the most. It's the most important one. I think that's it. I think that's all I got.
It's funny you mentioned that with the whole Tumblr thing, because I was initially going to stop like posting on Tumblr, and then all of a sudden I see more people starting to like my articles and pieces, and I'm like, so now that the lewds are gone, they're coming to me.
Yeah, for like, okay. Yeah, for like real stuff that people share.
So besides b3crew.tumblr.com, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos, oh my god, just like right now, someone just liked my Sister My Writer article on Tumblr.
Awesome.
Visit us at b3crew.com for all of our articles and podcasts. If you want to write to us, please reach out at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. Follow me on Twitter and on the J-pop video games and anime amino pages at kingbaby.esh. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofash. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. And listeners, we got one other really huge show coming up for you this Saturday, live on YouTube and Facebook. We are going to be doing the Wicked Anime Wikis.
Yes, so go to facebook.com/wickedanime for all the info on where you can find us live.
And you can still vote.
Oh yeah, please, that's right.
Please, please vote. We've only got like 5 or 6 people voting for us so far.
Well, hey, you know, if that's what we get, then people can't complain. That's not a good anime from 2018. It was open live to you guys. So if you go to facebook.com/wickedanime, you can find the sign-up sheet and the survey sheet for your favorite animes of 2018 specifically. Only 2018, please.
Yes.
Of that. And fill it out, send it to us, and your nomination will be included on the show.
And for the next episode of No Borders, No Race, I'm going to be spinning some of my favorite openings and endings from anime of 2018. Most of them from series, but I am going to spin one or two for the first time from films that were released in 2018 as well. And I don't know if I'm going to call it a pre-wiki show or a post-wiki show, because it's going to come on after the live one, but before the all-edited nicely for your listening pleasure one.
That's right.
So, for the last thing that we're going to play, I have a song from my favorite EP of 2018, and they come from a band that actually opened up for Fucked Up when I saw them live this past November, and they're a band called Bad Waitress. And why I love Bad Waitress is that their style of punk, I like to refer to as biker punk.
Okay.
It's that kind of music you hear when you see, like, Hell's Angel members just beating each other up with pool cues just for fun.
Kind of sounds like Motorhead a little bit in my brain.
Not as hardcore as Motorhead, but it has that sort of in-your-faceness to it.
Yeah.
And these girls from Toronto, in just 11 minutes, because that's how long it is. It's 5 songs, and no song on there is longer than 2 minutes long.
That is very punk.
In just those 11 minutes, they have made their mark and statement. They are here, and they are going to kick our ass, whether we like it or not. And we like it so, so much when they kick our ass. So, for our pick, for my pick for best EP of 2018, Bad Waitress, Party Bangers, Volume 1. Who knows if Volume 2 is going to come? And the song that I'm going to play from that EP is called NDFE. And if you want to know what that stands for, listen to the song. So, until next time, this is your King Baby Like Evan Borgo.
Your hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps.
guys, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.